Welcome back, Stu.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Mate? Yeah, you too. Yeah, how's it going?
Going well, yeah. Finally getting out on the course. Some nice weather eventually. So it's looking good at both sides. Watching some good golf on TV. Playing some golf ourselves as well.
And the lights are getting... Nights are getting lighter even, should I say.
Yeah, not far off the clocks. Getting 9 holes in after work.
That's perfect, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. So as always, Stu, we appreciate you coming on and spending a little bit of time with us to talk over the golf. So let's start with a little review of how last week went. We spread the point over 3 tournaments, primarily at the Arnold Palmer. But let's talk about the other 2 events first. What happened?
Birdie Fest, really. Open the field up. Golf course is playing quite easy. Brings a lot more people into it. Obviously, as we've mentioned last week, only one event there, probably, which is why we didn't spend too much points on those. We didn't have enough information to know going forward, maybe something you avoid. Not great. We had Andy Sullivan. He was probably the best of the few that we put up. I think he came tied 15th. Never really in it, but never really out of it with the way the scoring was. But yeah, it's just one that really endorses what we spoke about in the first week, really. You don't chase losses. You only outlay small amounts on the unknown variables and wait for bigger and better things on tougher courses with more data and things to look at, which very nearly came through on the first day. Ironically, you know, we were talking last week, weren't we, about that first round, and it looked for all the world we were going to do it with Matsuyama. And then literally the penultimate group of the day, we got done by one shot. Shane Lowry, yeah, who we had the week before.
We need to not be doing that, don't we? Talking our way out of a bet.
Yeah, but it happens. But yeah, we go again. We stick to the routine, stick to the variables, and it'll happen. You only need one every 5 weeks doing what we do at the prices that you get given. So we're only 2 weeks in, and we had a runner-up in the first round with Matsuyama. We had 4 places the week before, so off to a good start still.
It's like you reiterated at the very first one a couple of weeks ago that you are going to lose more than you win, and it's a testament to the system that there's been 10 years of profit, not all 52 weeks or however many weeks that you bet for are going to be in profit. So it's more about everyone who's doing it or who's signing up to think, right, okay, we've had this week, we'll take the losses and we'll move to the next week, and then in 2 or 3 weeks you'll forget about it once you pull your magic out the bag.
Yeah, that's it. You know, this is the hard part, and we did say in week one, it's what happened last week is actually the majority of what happens. As an average, as I said, those 10 years divided by 10, it gives us an average of 20 wins per season, if you will. So, you know, by default there, you're dealing with weeks like that, like last week, 31 times out of those. So it's no surprise. And those people who can stick with it and do put their faith in that data and that history, they're the ones that deserve to win. A lot of people, as I say, I've seen so often, they'll join for a month because it's the cheapest option. They'll lose the first 3 weeks and cancel. And then the 4th week, when they would have won all their money plus more, they didn't get that opportunity. It's just not like that. And you have to really stick with it and pass judgment after a number of months rather than a number of weeks. It's just unfortunately the way golf is. You know, everybody is very good at golf, and as we touched upon, you put them on a course like Puerto Rico and you put them on the South Africa when you've 20, 25 under par winning, they're all capable of doing that. You know, we did manage to say last week's podcast that was never going to happen at Bay Hill, and it was going to be a really good golfer that won, and it turned out to be the world number one who unfortunately seems to have learned how to putt as well as everything else. So it could be a most amazing spell for him now, especially the Masters is now only 3 weeks away, and he's already won there before. He could really be elevating himself into one of the golfing greats.
Yeah, that was always the worry for the players, weren't it? If he started rolling them in, that was our birdie this week on the pod that we spoke about. Obviously, Phil Kenyon's got hold of him now, and you know it's showing his class, isn't he?
Yeah, I saw something off the back of last night. He holds 16 out of 16 putts inside 15 foot. Well, not even like inside 6 foot or something. It's like inside 15. That's insane.
It's just unheard of for him, isn't it? Obviously, that's always been the Achilles heel for him, hasn't it? The weak point is that if he could put, he'd win pretty much everything, the way he strikes the ball and the positions he puts himself in off the tee and on the green. But it just hasn't really worked out for him on the green. So, yeah, you're right. It's how do you stop him now? But even going back,
I'm still maintaining from a non-betting perspective and putting on a golf coaching hat, I still maintain the fact that it's his movement style through impact and his downswing. I'm pretty convinced we'll catch up with him eventually. He's obviously in a massive purple patch now of about 18 months, but there's only really ever been Tiger Woods in our lifetimes that have had a consistently longevity at the top. And I still very much view Scheffler as this is just his cycle, the same way McIlroy had the early 2010s and then John Rahm had a period. Luke Donald was world number one for a bit. Martin Keimer had. I still think this is just a purple patch of maybe two seasons. I can see him. I can see his long game regressing from extremely high standards midpoint of this year onwards. But that's purely from a observational perspective. No, there's no data to support that. The way he's playing now, his data is off the charts. He's like number one in every single aspect. And if the putting's going to catch that up, we may as well just bet him every week the way he's going.
Yeah, it is Tiger-esque, isn't it? But yeah, even if you go back to Bale there as well, you know, Rory was posed, wasn't he, in a great position to probably be one of the ones to follow up, but it just didn't work out for him, I suppose. Just put that down to one of them weeks. He done everything he needed to for 54 holes, and then that last round just collapsed front nine, didn't he?
Yeah, I fancied him because he's such a strong final round player. He'd got himself within four shots and he would have been right where he wanted to. I thought he could have gone round in 5 or 6 under and put some pressure on, but just not quite firing at the moment this year, Rory.
Yeah, I think that was the point. Shane Lowry said that afterwards. Nobody really put any pressure on Scheffler. He's still done what he'd done and obviously shot an unbelievable final round in tough conditions. But yeah, I don't think no one putting on pressure on him helped, did they?
No, that won't be the case at the Masters. There'll be a few of them peaking for that. It could be one of the all-time greats Masters this year. I think John Rahm's going to be bang there. Rory's going to have to be there just because it's Rory and the Masters story, the final round of the Grand Slam. Scheffler's firing on all cylinders. There's someone else who we're going to move on to talk about who I think is going to be the next one who solidifies a run at world number one, who's sneakily playing better and better and better. Two-time major champion already. And the number one name for TPC Sawgrass, I think, this week at good odds.
Well, let's get into it then. Who released the Kraken, as you say?
Justin Thomas. Worst season ever. Those who have started to catch up on the latest season on Netflix openly admitted he used a variety of adjectives to describe his season, but knuckled down towards the end of the year, made the Ryder Cup, one of the better performers at the Ryder Cup for America. And this season, you know, everything we've talked about on this podcast is coming true for Justin Thomas. So he's played five times in 2024. And got better and better and better. 16th, 12th, 11th, 6th, and 3rd. Most of which in Florida. Won at TPC Sawgrass in 2021. Previous had a 3rd and a 4th there as well. So incredibly comfortable and familiar around those layouts. Anyone who watches a lot of golf will remember his win in 2021 in very tough conditions. Can move the ball massively, hit that massive raking draw on the last, which stayed off the water by about a meter. Confidence. I think he's paid his dues to the sport. He went through his rough times, and I like him for 2024, 2025 to add to his two PGA championships. I'm looking at him for the Masters, looking at him for US Open, and other players. I think he's really going to get some big trophies in the next 12 months. And he's 25-1. Due to how well Scottie Scheffler's playing, he's taking a bulk of the money. You know, we've not talked about how the actual books are made. It's in relationship to how much money they receive on players. So, as you can imagine, the majority of people interested in betting at the moment will flock to Scheffler, and that creates a gap in the prices. So Scottie Scheffler is less than half the price of anyone else in the field. And because of that, everyone else's odds move slightly down. So, you know, you're now having people like Matsuyama, who's another one, who's the last three times at Sawgrass, he's got a seventh, an eighth, and a fifth. And he's 33-1. Well, that normally for a player who's never been out the top eight, that would be 16-1, 18-1. Well, it's double that. So incredible value. And that's the benefit of someone like Scheffler playing so well. As much as we've just lauded his game, we know history tells us that even Tiger Woods at the peak of his powers, the most he ever won was seven PGA Tour events. Vijay Singh won nine, and he played a lot more than Tiger. So we know he's not going to win every week just because of averages and the law of averages. So that you take him on. You know, I don't think Scheffler will win. He won the Players last year, so he's coming in as a double defending champ. He won this week just gone, and he won at Sawgrass 12 months ago. So he's got an unbelievable situation this week. He's going to have a lot of media attention. He's going to have to spend a lot of time doing interviews with sponsors. It can have an effect, knock him out of his practice routine. So I definitely would be inclined to be looking further down at getting some value. And as we've said, it's another mathematical equation that if you're backing Scheffler at 5-1, he's got to beat everyone in the field. And there's 144 people playing this week. So you're making a 5-1 bet to beat 143 people, whereas someone like Hideki Matsuyama, a fifth of 33-1, is already 6.6. So even him placing, you're getting more odds than Scheffler winning. So that's another part of the system that I look at, like the value. You only need someone to finish eighth, and you're making more money than actually getting the winner of someone like Scheffler. So that's a little bit of insight into this week. And I like Matsuyama and Thomas, how they're playing recently. Top 10 last week for Matsuyama. Again, Justin Thomas last week managed to come 12th. So those are the two main ones I'm spending some time looking at when we get the weather and the tee times we spoke about last week. 13 of the last 16 winners at Sawgrass come from the morning starters. So our discussion last week really comes into its own at this venue in this region. So it will be vital that the players we look at come in that bracket between 8 a.m. local time and 9:30 local time to get the benefit of that good start.
Yeah, Joe, I was speaking to Mark on the podcast talking about your like the tea time thing, and then so say you've got like Rory and all these people who are like superstars, and they want to have a good viewing on Sky, don't they? So they're usually a little bit later, aren't they? So they're never graced with that sort of morning. They're never really first out, are they? So wonder how that affects, if you're saying it costs them like a shot or 1.5 shots a round or a tournament.
Yeah, so one thing we have to remember with that is it's like bookends. So whoever goes out early on day one goes out late on day two. Whoever goes out late on day one goes out early on day two. So they get an opportunity to have those variables on day two, but it often doesn't have as much of an impact because the day before, there's still been 156 people on those greens, whereas on day one, not everyone would have played a practice round on the Wednesday. Often, like the pro-am is just like top 30 pros rather than the whole field. So Yeah, so generally they do even out over a season, but sometimes the bigger events they do have like TV times, and it can have an effect. Yeah, but it's out of their control. That it's not going to be too far off that purple zone of 8 till 9:30. They might be put out at 10 a.m. local time, so they're missing the perfect by half an hour.
Yeah, and I think that when you're talking about the bookmakers making Scheffler 5-1, I think that a lot of that is, if you're saying other money's being laid in by other people betting on Scheffler, like the whole world's gone into a frenzy over him. It's like he's Tiger Woods numbers he can put now. There's nothing down for anybody sort of thing. It's like they've almost writ everybody off this one performance from Scheffler.
Yeah, it's good for us because, as I say, all credit to him. He can go and win players, but there's going to be someone finish second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and eighth. We've got seven places to go at, and at the odds, you're making more money than him anyway. And you've still got the chance that last week was his all-time peak, and this week he maybe misses a few more fairways, and his irons aren't quite as close proximity as they were. To keep that standard, you know, it's never happened outside of Tiger. Everyone's had months, but generally it goes back to the mean, you know, and his mean is still pretty good. But I was amazed. I think that last night was the night before, was it last night? It was only his eighth win. You say only, you know, he's only 27 years old, but it's not like he's won 15 times by the age of 25 or something like, you know, he's nowhere near what Tiger was. He's won the Masters. Tiger had, by this stage at 27, I think Tiger had won about 8 majors. So it's very easy to throw these terms out, but he's not got the wins and numbers. And that tells us that if he's playing this well now, has he hit his peak? Is the only way down? He can't really get much better. And he's not winning every week now. So yeah, I suppose I'm just trying to justify to everyone and ourselves that, you know, it is still an open gate. It's not just the Scottie Scheffler Championship.
No, I get that. And I think that the main point with the Scheffler thing is, although he's only won 8, he's had like a ridiculous amount of top 5 seconds runner-ups. Yeah, and it's all been down to the flat stick letting him down, hasn't it? So I think the exciting thing as a fan watching it, obviously maybe not from the betting's perspective, but is that there is an opportunity now to see like domination in Tiger's veins because he's hitting Tiger's numbers. So, you know, like you say, the stats don't lie. If he does go on and have that consistency throughout, then, you know, what is stopping him? But like you say, the variables, like nobody's done it since Tiger. So why is that going to change now? And there is so many top level players out there now, isn't there as well?
There is, yeah. I don't think he will. And that's a combination of me not thinking he can keep up this standard for 5 years in a row, and also what you've just alluded to, like we're European, so I know some of it's unconscious. I like to pull for Jon Rahm, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, and I'd like to think that their best golf, their best is just as good as Scheffler's. Like Scheffler and Rahm halved, didn't they, in the singles? Like, yeah, it should be good. There's the Masters, hopefully, all of, if they're all on form, what a week we're in for, second week in April. And we've got three there, Hovland, Rahm and McIlroy, I think third, fourth and fifth in the world, Scheffler number one. So we've got three versus America having one. It's good odds in our favour.
Definitely, yeah. So what are, obviously just on the TPC Sawgrass this week, then for the players, what are we actually looking for statistically? What are the strengths? I know we've spoken about Scheffler's all-round game, but when you're picking out JT and Matsuyama, what are the strengths we're actually looking for?
Yeah, so similar to we talked about golf course designer, TPC Sawgrass is Pete Dye. So another very famous course architect, famous for being one of the more prominent water hazard designers. So a lot of water, a lot of penalties for errant shots, which makes it a tougher challenge, lower scoring in terms of low to par, higher scoring in terms of shots taken, because players can't just hit it anywhere, go and find it and hit it towards the green. if they hit it anywhere, they're going to have to drop the ball near the tee. And last week we saw some incredible numbers, didn't we? That guy who's burst on the scene this year.
Jake Knapp, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a 12. Fleetwood had a 12. You know, yeah, there's no room for error. It's exactly the same this week at Sawgrass. So generally, it's quite a tough test. So we look at Pete Dye courses. Who's got good records there? There are a number of specialists. Tends to be people from Asia do very well. So we mentioned Matsuyama there. Also, Siwoo Kim has won the Players' Championship before, and he's also won at another Pete Dye venue, which holds the Arizona, I think it's called the Amex in these day and age. So there's two venues there that are very similar. So we look at that correlation to reinforce the current form. We talk about grass. So this is Bermuda style. So anyone who is a resident of Bermuda, upbringing on that for learning how the ball bounces, learning how the wedge cuts through around the green, it can change your technique if you're having to adjust or just continue how you're going. Another great point, you know, Kev's been pretty hot on this the last few weeks about the distance. So it doesn't help us this week because we've got a list of winners on both ends of the spectrum. Like, driving distance is never a bad thing if you're straight. So if you're hitting it a long way and accurate, massive, massive advantage. Justin Thomas is an example of that. But there's no use on this course if you're hitting it long and you're in the water. So there's also a lot of shorter hitters over the years who've done well, who are accurate. So we've had Fred Funk won here 15 or years ago, KJ Choi, Tim Clark back in the day. These were all very low percentage players in terms of distance, but they were accurate. So they might hit a 6-iron from the fairway into the green, whereas someone else might be hitting a 9-iron from the rough or they're hitting a hazard. So there's no real advantage there of distance. Definitely a course that favours either. You know, the two ways to sort of skin the cat this week. So, yeah, you know, it's a very matter of fact state in golfing obvious this week. You know, greens in regulation stats, who is able to get the ball on the green in the appropriate amount of shots and isn't going in bunkers, hazards, having to chip out of long rough. And wind. Anyone got strong wind because wind play, whether it be by the coast or this Florida swing, because it's played a massive factor here and it really can blow hard. We know, famous for the 17th, you know, you're either on the green or in the water. And we've seen scores from a 2 all the way up to 7s, 8s, 9s. And with it being the 17th hole, there's no room to make that score back up again. So another really important thing to just add to the toughness is no two holes generally play in the same direction. So it's a very left, right, backwards, sideways, dogleg. So you're not getting used to a wind direction. Like in the UK, our famous links courses are 9 holes in one direction, 9 holes straight back in the other direction. This TPC at Sawgrass couldn't be further from that if it tried. So yeah, those are sorts of things. I wouldn't be looking at players who haven't played here before and experienced that sort of stadium atmosphere, experienced how the wind affects the ball on water holes. And back to that adage, who's playing well at the moment and who has positive memories of being in contention at what was regarded as the fifth major. So yeah, that's where my main two I'm looking at would be Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, and then at larger odds, one that I'll be spending some time looking at, who's coming out on a lot of statistics this year, is Brian Harman, our Open winner from Hoylake. So there's a little bit of wind connection there. He's playing really, really good golf this year, straight out the bat, and he finished 12th. In Florida at the Arnold Palmer, and has a 3rd and 2 8th place finishes already at TPC, and he is 80-1. So with it being a special event, sometimes bookmakers And again, I won't know this until later on in the week, but some of the bigger bookmakers like Skybet, William Hill, Coral, some of the bigger UK names, they generally can go 10 places at the players and the majors. So if you can get anywhere near 80 to 1 top 10 for someone like Brian Harman playing as well as he is, you know, a much better bet, in my opinion, than backing Scheffler to win at those sorts of odds. So that's where I'm up to at the moment. Pending weather, pending wind, pending tea times. Those sort of three names are what I'm attracted to on Monday evening when we're recording this pod.
Brilliant. No, yeah. And just to reiterate as well, anybody who's not signed up yet and you want to get the actual tips that go out on a Wednesday, you can sign up via the website at www.sjpgolftips.com. And you put code BogeyBoys in, you will get 33% off the subscription prices.
For life.
For life.
For life.
Well, look, appreciate you coming on, Stu, and obviously sharing your wisdom as always. Obviously, hopefully a better week this week than last, but like we say, these things happen and that win is just around the corner. Hopefully, and hopefully it's this week.
Yeah, no problem. Let's keep our fingers crossed. And thanks for having me on again. Speak next week.
You're very welcome. Speak to you next week, Stu.